Paul says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So I'm going to take my title from verse 11, fulfill his pleasure. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would work a miracle in each of our hearts through the powerful word of God this morning. It is such a blessing to be here in the name of Jesus Christ to assemble, to open your word. And now may the Holy Ghost take control. And may Jesus Christ be magnified, Lord. And so guide every aspect of the remainder of this service. And Lord, we pray that we would be changed, that we would leave saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you so much and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians here, remember the Thessalonians had gone through a lot of trials, a lot of persecution, and had been, as you get later on in the books of the Thessalonians, you'll see that Paul had to correct a lot of doctrinal issues. People were coming through and telling them that the resurrection had already happened and other false doctrines. And Paul here is encouraging them that the reason we are here is to fulfill his pleasure. If you're born again this morning, if you're one of God's children, you are not here for yourself. You're here for him. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we forget that it's about him. He saved us. He bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to him. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. We belong to him. And so, beginning there in verse 11, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you. Paul here is saying, I'm praying for you Thessalonian Christians, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. That should be our desire. That we would walk worthy. Now, if you're born again, you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with your behavior. Praise God for that great truth. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to have a good testimony. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to act like a Christian so that we bring him glory. And he wants us to be worthy of our calling. We are children of God. We're children of Almighty God, the Holy One. He wants us to walk worthy of that calling. The Bible says in Colossians 1:10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord. And so in this passage, God reveals to us his ultimate will, but also how it can happen, where the power comes from to make it a reality. And so the first thing we see there in verse 11 is he wants us to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. God wants to accomplish things through us. He left us here for a reason. Heaven is a given if we're saved. Now, you've heard people say this, but God could just as easily, the second we're saved, we could have our own individual rapture and just go to heaven, because we're going to heaven anyway. So why leave us behind? Why make us fight this battle with the flesh and with the world and with sin? Why make us stay here and struggle and have all these trials? Well, because we need to make a difference in the lives of others. We need to bring glory to him. You know, why are we saved? Because somebody told us. Amen? And we need to tell others. God's ultimate plan is that he accomplish things through us. And that's what he's talking about here, that he would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. And God is ready and, of course, capable of doing that, but it comes down to us. Go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And Paul here shares a beautiful promise about this plan that God has for us. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day you were saved, he began a good work in us. And Paul says we can be confident that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that he's going to keep working in us. He's going to keep accomplishing his purpose in us, fulfilling his pleasure. Now, while you're in Philippians, look in chapter 2, verse 13. Notice it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." See, the great thing about being a Christian is God has these plans, God has these desires for us, but then God's also the one that makes it possible. He doesn't give us these commands and then say, "Now go do it." He gives us the commands and then he says, "Let's do it together. I'll give you the power, I'll give you the strength, I'll give you the ability to make this a reality." God wants to fulfill his good pleasure in us. He wants to accomplish his will in us. You know, Jesus is referred to as the author and finisher of our faith. He authored it through Calvary, but he's going to finish it. He's going to keep working in our lives, and of course it culminates with us going to heaven and then getting our new bodies and spending eternity with the Lord. Jesus is going to accomplish all of that. But during our time on earth, God has a plan for every one of us. He wants to accomplish great things through every one of us. But we have to be willing. And that's where it falls apart. We have to be willing to let him. You know, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians. If you turn over there, chapter 5. We're already in 2 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A lot of people, when God begins to call them into the ministry, the first thing they go through is this feeling of unworthiness. I can't do it. There's no way God wants me in the ministry. There's no way that I could be a missionary or be a preacher or be a pastor's wife. There's just no way I could do any of those things. Trust me, that is a common response to God calling people into the ministry. Very common response. This verse takes care of all of it. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." That's all you need. If God's going to call you to do something, God's going to do it. So he not only calls us to do great things, but then he's the one that makes it happen. And you know, when God does call people into the ministry, and they have this feeling of unworthiness, they just have to step back and say, "It's not about my worthiness. It's about my willingness. God's the worthy one. God's the one that's going to make it happen. I just need to be willing." God, in every believer's life, has a plan, has a purpose, and he wants to fulfill it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. Over to the right from Thessalonians, just two books. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Again, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." His own purpose and grace. God is sovereign. God has a plan. But, there's always a but, God gave us a free will. He gave all of his creatures a free will. We can decide to serve God or we can decide not to serve God. You know, we can initially decide to get saved or not get saved. We can decide to do right or not do right. We can decide to let God accomplish his purpose in our lives or not. It comes down to our decision. And so we see here that God wants to fulfill his pleasure in our lives. Now go back to our passage. Ultimately, and we're going to go back to verse 11 in a moment, but ultimately, look at verse 12 of our passage, "that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him." Ultimately, that's why we are here, to glorify our God. He wants to accomplish His purpose in us, and He wants us to glorify Him. Folks, that's why we're here, to bring glory to God. So I thought we were here to witness. Absolutely. And when you witness, that brings glory to God. When you do right, that brings glory to God. When you pray, that brings glory to God. When you read His Word, when you tell others about Jesus, all of that brings glory to God. We're here to bring glory to God. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven." Glory to God. We're here to bring glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 10. Just up from where we are. Verse 10, notice what it says. "When He shall come to be glorified in His saints." There will come a day when we will do nothing but bring glory to God because our fallen nature will be removed. But while we're here on earth, we're here to bring glory to God. God wants to fulfill His purpose in our lives, and God wants us to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God." We're here to fulfill God's purpose, and we're here to glorify God. That comes down to us. Now the good news, back up to verse 11, is God is the one who makes it possible. Notice it says at the end of the verse, "and the work of faith with power." Where does the power come from to fulfill God's will? Where does the power come from to glorify God? It comes from God. Praise the Lord. He's the one that gives the power. And so God has a plan for us. He wants us to accomplish this work of faith. He wants us to get out there and serve Him and glorify Him and fulfill His purpose in our lives. But He's the one that gives us the power to accomplish it. We just have to let Him. You know, we know those verses, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The "through Christ" is the key there, isn't it? We got to lean on Him. We've got to let Him accomplish these things through us. The power has to come from Him and Him alone. If you would, look at Ephesians in chapter 1, talking about God's power to make these things possible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Notice the Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." I like that, the greatness of His power, His mighty power. There is no limit to God's power. The only thing that limits these things taking place is us. Our willingness to make it happen. While you're in Ephesians, look at chapter 3, verse 20. Notice it says, "Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." There's that power. What did Jesus tell His disciples right before He went to heaven in Acts chapter 1? "But ye shall receive power." Where? "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." When we get saved, the Holy Ghost moves in. We become the temple of Almighty God. Now there is infinite power available to fulfill God's pleasure. There is infinite power available to bring glory to God. It comes down to us, allowing God to make it real and happen in our lives. So God wants us to fulfill His pleasure and glorify Him. How does He make it possible? First of all, verse 11, power. Now look at verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. "According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." God's given us all we need to fulfill His pleasure and bring Him glory. And that's His power and His grace. And that's all we need. There's a verse in James 4:6. It says, "He giveth more grace." You say, "Oh, you don't know how sinful I was in my childhood. He giveth more grace. You don't know the struggles that I face. You don't know all the problems. He giveth more grace. There's always more grace available than anything you can bring to God. It's just whether or not we're going to let it work in our lives. Because it's there. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Turn over there if you would, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Talking about the grace of God available to fulfill God's pleasure in our lives. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace that saved us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's grace that makes it possible to be what God wants us to be. It's always there. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us before the world began." God wants to accomplish great things in every one of our lives. He has a plan. You say, "Well, how could he use me?" It's not about you. It's about him. And if we will let it be about him, if we will yield to him and let him do his work in our lives through his power and his grace, he will. Because he's God. It just comes down to us being willing. "Lord, I give you myself." That's what now we see what the Bible means when it talks about being a living sacrifice. It doesn't mean killing ourselves, otherwise we'll be a dead sacrifice. It means giving ourselves to God. Saying, "Lord, I am not my own, I'm yours. I belong to you. So take control of my life. Run my life. Your power is there. Your grace is there. You have plans for me. You want me to glorify you. I yield to you. Make it happen." You know what God will do with that? He'll make it happen. That's what it means. The Bible talks about being walking in the Spirit. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. It means yielding ourselves to God and allowing Him through His power and His grace to accomplish His purpose in our lives that we might bring glory to Him. It's all about who we yield to. Go to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Yield. Give way. Give it to God. You know, up in verse 11 in that same passage, "Reckon ye yourselves also to be dead unto God," or "dead unto sin, but alive unto God." You see, we're crucified with Christ. That's what Paul means. We're not ourselves anymore. We're God's. The old man's dead. But unfortunately, we're still carrying him around, and he still gives us a lot of problems. So we need to reckon him to be dead and yield ourselves unto God, so that he might fulfill his pleasure in our lives. And there's infinite amount of power and grace to make it possible. The sticking point is us. You know, I often ponder this, that every creature in God's creation does what it was made to do, except man. I mean, think about it. I was going to say a lion, but I was trying to pick something in New Zealand, but we didn't have any original mammals. But you know, a possum does what it's supposed to do. It's annoying, right? But every creature, just God programmed it and said, "This is what you're going to do. This is what I made you to do." And that's what it does. It doesn't rebel and say, "Well, Well, you know, a trout doesn't say, "Well, Lord, I know you made me to swim up the river and get caught." So I'm going to rebel and instead I'm going to go live on land. No. But what's man do? God made man to fellowship with Him. God made man to please Him. God made man to glorify Him. And we rebel. And even after we're saved, we rebel. God says, stop rebelling. I got a plan for you. You're my child now. I've purchased you. And not only that, I've given you myself to live in you. And I've made available to you all the power and all the grace you need to accomplish what I want you to accomplish. But you got to yield. You got to be willing to fulfill His pleasure. And just think of what God could do with us if we would just yield to Him. Think of the mighty plans He has for each of our lives if we would allow Him to fulfill His pleasure in our lives. Imagine.